It's easy to grin when your ship comes in and you've got the stock market beat. But the man worthwhile is the man who can smile when his shorts are too tight in the seat.
Pardon me, would you have any gray poupon?
But of course.
I've always got Little River Band loaded up here. I got six discs in here.
But that's all right, son. You can do it on the boat.
I'm not gonna stand here and listen to this baloney.
He won't, you know. He doesn't stand for baloney.
Live from Members Only Studios, welcome to Living in the 80s, the podcast where we talk about anything and everything having to do with the 1980s, the best that we remember it. This podcast is released off schedule. This is an encore podcast that I just loved and thought I would share it with everyone yet again. Jim Lawler and I had got together May 22nd, 2020, and we did a podcast on Yacht Rock. We both are big fans of the genre and wanted to do a podcast on it. So I have cut it down, abbreviated about the first 30 minutes or so, and getting right into us talking about some of our favorite Yacht Rock songs. So enjoy this bonus podcast, and I hope you all have a great Memorial Day weekend. And don't forget, this Saturday, we are going to release another podcast. This one will be us creating our own 80s summertime mixtape. You do not want to miss it. So until then, enjoy this podcast, and we will see you again on Saturday. So without further ado, join us as we go back to Memorial Day weekend 2020. For us, being aficionados of the genre, we started off with about 100 songs. And we decided, you know what, we're going to make a top 10 list. And this is a collective list. And so we decided along the way, let's whittle it down to 10. And then there were some we disagreed on. Okay, let's throw this one out and keep this one. Okay, you can throw in two, I can throw in two. So we got it down to...
It's a labor of love.
It was a labor
of love. It was hard.
It was hard. I mean, it's very hard.
I think once we got to about 30 songs was when it really... I mean, you could interchange a lot of those songs.
Oh, yeah. A lot of them that didn't quite make our top 10. It's not because we don't like them any less. It's just because we only had room for 10. So, and you know, the funny thing is, if we had the same conversation in 6 months, we may have a completely different top 10.
Yeah.
If we had it tomorrow, it would change. It's already changed like four times today.
Yeah.
And we started on it probably 3 or 4 days ago. So, yeah, good stuff. Let's start off with our list here. Do we want to start off with the ones that didn't quite make it, or do we want to just go into the list and talk the ones that didn't make it later? What do you want to do?
Yeah, I think we could talk about the cutting floor of, what didn't make the list.
That's...
And part of those, or at least the criteria that we feel they didn't meet, was whether it fit in the genre or not. Of course, there were some stylistically that we either one of us liked and the other one didn't, but we really labored about the island sound,
right,
for one thing.
Right. So if you're thinking... like Jimmy Buffett. So we consider him more of an island kind of guy, along the lines of Kenny Chesney. Like, these guys put out some really good music, but they're not quite yacht rock, even though, like, Margaritaville may have fit kind of in there.
Yeah.
It didn't make the top 10, so we're going to mention that song, but that's kind of, that's one of the things that kind of disqualified
it. Yeah. And just know, if there are other aficionados out there, you know what? If it fits your definition of yacht rock, keep it in there.
That's
but
right.
I think we both agreed. I mean, I really labored about Cool Change by the Little River Band, or Southern Cross, which is more of an 80s song, but still in the neighborhood.
Right.
Nitty Gritty Dirt Band.
Yes.
American Dream is one of my favorite 80s songs, period. And it kind of falls into this genre, but it kind of also doesn't, because it does have more of that. I kind of put Nitty Gritty Dirt Band in the category with the Eagles. I think they're more of a Southern California sound, even though they're Nitty Gritty Dirt Band's all over the place. Like in this era of their career, they kind of had that Southern California thing going on, but then they do it like a ton of bluegrass and stuff like that. So they're really hard to pigeon into one area. But you know, that's one of the things that we have moved through here. So one of the ones that I kind of wanted to include, but it doesn't totally fit, but the music style and the quality kind of does, is Africa by Toto.
Yeah.
Which, it's a great song.
Great song.
But it didn't quite fit here.
But you will see it in some of the larger lists. It's interesting. Same with Rosanna.
If you're listening to the Yacht Rock channel on iHeartRadio or on SiriusXM, who, you know, we talked about theirs, you will probably hear some of these songs on there. But to clearly define how we're trying to label Yacht Rock, they just kind of don't fit.
Yeah.
But one that does fit, that fits perfectly, but didn't quite make our top 10, was Key Largo by Birdie Higgins.
Birdie.
So that song, it has everything in the formula. It's got the music quality, it's got the, you know, the ocean references, it's got all of that, but just outside of the top 10.
Yeah, I'm with you. I am a big fan of Jay Ferguson, who by all intents and purposes was a one-hit wonder with a song called Thunder Island,
yes,
which is pretty fantastic. And then, you know, I think the other thing that I labored over were some of these, they weren't one-hit wonders, but they kind of fit in the same sort of basket, and that's like the 10cc and the Players. I say Players, the band is called Player.
Right.
Orleans, Looking Glass, you know, so you,
England Dan and John Ford Coley.
Yeah, there are so you see why
Seals
we sort of
Cross.
We labored over, yeah, just 10, because yeah, there's a lot of good stuff.
One song that was in my initial top 10 that we ended up moving out, it was rough, but A Lot of Love by Nicolette Larson is one of my jams.
Yeah.
Like that song comes on, which she sings background in American Dream by Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. Love her,
yeah,
but
see, that's one that was not as high. I don't know if I'm... We talked about the absence of a lot of female solo artists,
yeah,
in this genre.
Like Linda Ronstadt, Blue by You, would be another one I would include that's,
yeah,
a female.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's just, I guess, ladies weren't producing the Yacht Rock back in the 70s. All a bunch of dudes.
Yeah.
So...
And then some of those that we left off were just second and third songs of some of the artists that we have,
oh,
in,
yeah,
the list.
Which, when we get up to those songs, we're going to, you know, mention some of those other songs they do as well. Just kind of refresh your memory, like how great artists these people were and these songs, you know. So
I got to throw a plug out for, and I don't know if you disagreed with this one being on the list, but I like the name of the band, the Ozark Mountain Daredevils.
Oh yeah,
Jackie Blue. Blue.
Yeah, that was one of the ones, because we decided we were going to have the right to cut some things, and
yep,
that's one that I cut only because I don't know, that just doesn't feel yachty enough
funky
for me. Yeah, it is a little more funky than most of the music here, and I remember that song from the early 70s when I'm thinking about favorite beach tunes,
yeah,
or whatever.
I get
that
it.
That doesn't come up, but they do have a cool name.
I will allow it.
You will allow. We will allow it. Next, What You Won't Do for Love by Bobby Caldwell. Now that is an extremely smooth tune. The dude kind of looks like one of the Lost Gibb brothers. Nothing like,
yeah,
you would think he would sound like. If you hear that, you're thinking, that's a middle-aged white guy? What,
yeah,
the?
It's soulful.
It's very soulful. Sarah Smile,
mm,
Hall & Oates. That was on...
Hard to leave off.
That was on the list initially, and that one just... You had to sacrifice something,
yeah,
because a couple other ones that got on there really needed to be on there. But I mean, I actually like it better than some of the ones that we've kept. We've agreed on that.
Right.
But just to stay true to the genre, we decided that, you know, we would cut a couple out that we may kind of like better, just in favor of some of the ones that more define what it is.
We had some trouble with Poco.
Yeah,
because Poco. That is a Crazy Love is an awesome song.
I love that song. Yeah,
a little bit of a country vibe.
Yeah, little Eagles. And well, Timothy B. Schmidt is singing it. He's the lead singer in that song, who went on to be with the Eagles later. So that is that was a very hard one for me to leave off, because, you know, that thing is probably shows up on about 3 or 4 of my playlists, like a road trip playlist, yacht rock, all of it. So that's a tough one. Magic by Pilot.
Oh,
that's a great song.
Yeah, that's a great song.
I've got to cut them off somewhere. And the very last one I'll put on here, it's actually two songs by the Sanford Townsend Band, which is Smoke from a Distant Fire and Starbright. Mm. You're thinking, what are those? Just look them up. Or better yet, what if we post our yacht rock playlist for you guys for your consumption on the webpage?
There you go.
So. All right, so Jim, is there any other songs that didn't make the cut that you wanted to bring up before we get into our top 10-ish?
I don't think so. We touched on Jerry Rafferty early on.
Right.
And right down the line, Baker Street, just barely missed our definition, but we felt like the composition was just primo, especially on Baker Street.
Oh, so, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So we are going to our top 10, and we actually have two number 10s.
Number 10.
Why are there two number 10s? Because we felt like we couldn't leave this song out, because it's kind of like the defining song of the genre, Sailing by Christopher Cross. Any list, most of them have this as number one. We decided it's kind of a boring song, but it's still kind of good at the same time. Like, in a certain mood, I can kind of get lost in the song.
Yeah.
So, I tell you what, the first time I ever heard this song, I could remember it like it was yesterday. At my old youth group at Trinity Memorial, we had a walk-a-thon. So we were raising money to go to camp. And we met at Tom and Sharon Ackley's house. It's Kevin and Cynthia's mom and dad. And at the very end of the walk-a-thon, the sun was just starting to go down. And I heard Sailing on the radio there on their front porch for the very first time.
Nice.
So whenever I hear that song, like when I'm paying attention to the song and kind of feeling it, I think of that day and that sunset, and
it's seared in your memory.
That's right. And I think of Kevin and Cynthia, all of our friends.
So love it.
That was a good day.
I can't think of the first time that I heard it. I was a big Christopher Cross fan, and I had this 45. I had Ride Like the Wind, which we've both discussed.
We like that better than this song.
But we think that could be heresy if we leave this off of the list of top 10. So definitely a great song. Definitely fits the genre. I listen to it all the way through at certain times, and at other times I listen to the first sort of 30 seconds, because I think that's where it really grabs you.
Oh, yeah. It's got one of the smoothest intros of any song ever. Christopher Cross won the Grammy for Best New Artist, and I think that album, his debut album, may have won a Grammy as well. You can fact check me if you want to. I don't care. It was a very good album. Like you said, Ride Like the Wind was a big hit, another yacht rock staple, along with Arthur's theme.
Yeah.
So, fun fact, I saw the movie Arthur for the first time about 2 weeks ago.
Nice.
That movie has been out since, I think it was 1981. And I had never seen it, have always avoided it for whatever reason, but I watched it. It was not bad. I did not realize Liza Minnelli was in it.
I am proud to say that I have never seen it.
It's not bad.
Really?
Except for Liza. Liza kind of gets on my nerves.
Yeah.
But as a movie, it's not
too bad.
Dustin
Hoffman, right?
No.
See?
Dudley Moore.
Dudley Moore.
You're probably thinking of Tootsie.
Tootsie.
Yeah. The same
all time. The same.
Yeah. Then there was an Arthur 2, which I also had to watch right after. I spent a Sunday afternoon watching those two movies.
You'll never get that back.
No, I won't. And you know, it's funny because life is short.
It is short.
Too short to be spending and watching Arthur. But the theme song was great. But they also used him for the second movie, too, which is like, I want to say it's like 1988 or 89 or something like that. And his ship had done sailed. And the song was just not good. So in fact, one of the Yacht Rock episodes has the guy playing Christopher Cross with one of his late 80s songs. He was still trying to make a career out of it, and no one had ever heard it. And you're talking about how much garbage it was because he betrayed the yacht or whatever it was. So it was funny. But anyhow, our first number 10 was Ride Like the Wind. Or, excuse me, it wasn't to be. It was Sailing.
Number 10.
Ventura Highway in the sunshine, where the days are longer, the nights are stronger than moonshine.
Californians. So if you guys ever seen the SNL skit, Californians, starring our buddy Bill Hader, and Fred Armisen's always on there too. For one, if you've never watched Californians, look it up. It's on Hulu or YouTube or whatever. Hilarious. But they use Ventura Highway by America as the intro. Now, this is one we kind of went back and forth on. There's only you and me, and we just disagree.
Ba-bum. You Yacht Rock aficionados should recognize that little drop.
Yes. If you didn't, then you're not a Yacht Rock aficionado. Get off the boat. Jim loves this song like he loves his own mother.
I do.
I'm not feeling this one. I do like the intro because I laugh because it reminds me of Californians. So, Jim, what is it about this song that just makes you love it?
You know, I think it's the melody. You know, this song, I think you already mentioned it's from 1972, so we're digging deep here. We also had a discussion about Gordon Lightfoot in this era, which, you know, in my own personal Yacht Rock list, I have a little bit of Gordy.
I have none.
Yeah. So Carefree Highway, you know, was in my list. But so I guess I just like highway songs, right? So Ventura Highway.
Maybe on a road trip.
It's just mellow. It's got, you know, obviously it's a reference to California, Southern California. I love this town doesn't look good in snow because I pretty much feel that way about Columbus all winter long.
Does any town look good in snow?
Doesn't really look good in snow. No. Yeah.
Except for Christmas.
There you go.
A white couple Christmas. Weeks. I love a white Christmas. Up to New Year's, maybe a week or two after.
But I just dig this song. I don't know what it is about it. And that's been a late appreciation for me. And, you know, you guys may have noticed this in your own tastes. I think the older we all get, you know, obviously we all listen to the 80s, some of us the 70s, the more we come to appreciate some of those songs that maybe at one point we turned away. Or, you know, it was okay, but we would turn to something else. But if you really listen to this song, I just think it has a good vibe. And I think it kind of fits the Southern California. So, yeah, this is one I sort of dug my heels in on and
and by the
Rob
way,
humored me.
Yeah, by the way, we don't really fight about this stuff. It's just, do you like it? No. Do you like it? Yeah. Okay, we'll keep it.
Yeah.
So it's one of those deals. But, I mean, it's definitely a popular song. If I was going to pick a song by America, I would probably pick You Can Do Magic, which would also fit into this whole thing with the sound and everything. And I would not put Horse with No Name on here.
No.
I don't like that song. It's kind of stupid. Like, if you're on a desert all that time, wouldn't you eventually just decide to name the horse something?
Yeah. Horse songs always get a little strange.
Yeah, like Wildfire. Fire.
Is that Michael Martin Murphy?
It is. I don't like that song.
You know,
didn't the horse
I think it's
die?
About, yeah, they chase
it.
It
comes back as a
she
ghost.
She chases it into the snow.
Yeah, how was that ever a hit?
I don't know. I will tell you, I do kind of like it, although it doesn't fit this genre. But I do like it.
I do.
That's how deep in there I get. I'm digging some Michael Martin Murphy.
You definitely, your music tastes do vary, which is funny because. Completely off the subject. Once upon a time, back in the day, Jim, I remember we were, I don't remember where we were, but we were in the car together somewhere.
Are we going Yard Junkie?
No, no, we're not going there. No, we better not go there. Okay. So, we're in the car. I don't remember where we were going, when it was, but Jim has this cassette he pops in. He's like, you got to hear this song. And he puts in this song called Jelly Roll by Blue Murder. This song rocks, and it is on all of my hair band playlists that I make even today. Like, it is a you can't cut this out kind of thing. Jim introduced me to that.
Blue Murder.
Blue Murder?
Yeah. Yeah.
Whose lead singer was Michael Martin Murphy. That's not true at all.
Yeah. It's a great song.
But that
kind of a one-hit wonder, but a great song.
It was. So that just kind of shows how eclectic Jim's tastes are. So that was our second number 10.
Number 9. All of the things that they say are very sentimental. Gentle wind blowing through my life again. Sentimental, really gentle one. All I need is sentimental.
Sentimental Lady by Bob Welch. So Bob Welch was formerly with Fleetwood Mac before he went on to his solo career. So he was pre-Lindsey Buckingham and Stevie Nicks. And this song, I've loved this song. This came out when I was in middle school, actually in 1977. So it's pre-80s. This song to me, if a sunset could have a sound, it would sound like this song to me. So this is one that I voted into the list. Jim got his Ventura Highway, and I got Sentimental Lady. So this song's always
one.
Yeah, it's just like the harmonies, everything just kind of works in that song. And
I think I didn't recognize it at first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's the thing that if a lot of listeners tune in or they listen to your expanded playlist, there are a lot of songs that you recognize and you think,
right.
And so this one is a good one. It's not something I initially picked out, but I like it.
Me too. It's one of the things we were talking about, you know, between songs here was how we both just kind of look for those songs that may have either flown under the radar or that we completely forget about. And this is one that Bob Welch in general, like, he had another song, Ebony Eyes, which was a good hit, which also falls into kind of like this yacht rock thing. But there's another one called Precious Love, which we're sitting here listening to it going, wow, this is one I kind of forgot about. So I love either discovering new music or just kind of being reminded of some old stuff that we kind of get in a rut sometimes, I think. We listen to the same stuff all the time. And I don't know if you guys have hung out in this podcast this long, listening to this conversation, you're probably a lot like us where you really like discovering new stuff and you like kind of getting your memory jogged. And hopefully you'll get off this podcast when it's over, of course, and maybe find some of these songs on your own and listen to them, or just look up an artist like Bob Welch and just start finding some of his older music and seeing where, you know, it is pretty good. Fun fact, Sentimental Lady was originally recorded in 1972 and is on a Fleetwood Mac album. So if you want to look that up, you can probably find it on YouTube, but better sound quality, like on Apple Music or Spotify or something. But yeah, Sentimental Lady by Bob Welch. We decided, what the heck? That's going to be number 9. Yeah.
Number 8. For me, there's nothing better. You're the biggest part of me. Make a wish to be
fashioned. If the left eye will make it come true. Make a mess to be fashioned.
So number 8 is Ambrosia with The Biggest Part of Me. And I think initially you could kind of have a toss-up as to which Ambrosia song you wanted to put in this list, right? So You're the Only Woman, How Much I Feel, Biggest Part of Me. We felt that this was the best of the three. But Ambrosia is from Southern California, band formed in 1970. I think they're actually still touring today. I know it's a 2010 or 2011. They worked with Jimmy Fallon on a yacht rock themed show, and so I think they are still active today. But one of my favorites.
Yeah, this is one of those groups. My friends David Yuska and Art Hughes. Art was on here a few weeks ago. We were talking about our favorite albums of the 80s. But these guys would make fun of me because I liked a couple of Ambrosia songs. Now, these guys are rockers, but I will guarantee you right now that Art has got Ambrosia on one, if not more, playlists. In fact, I've got one of his playlists right here. He calls it the Complete 80s. So we're going to review. Let's see here. This is just completely random. Ambrosia, Sad Eye, Sunset Sound Mix, Biggest Part of Me, You're the Only Woman, and How Much I Feel. Yeah, Art has four Ambrosia songs.
You can get in a little bit of trouble with Art, though, right?
He is a cop, and he is bigger than me.
Yeah, that's what I recall of Art, yep.
Yeah, but Ambrosia, it was never cool to be an Ambrosia fan, and I wouldn't necessarily classify myself in a fan category for them, but man, they put out some good music, well produced, very slick, yeah. You know, very, very listenable, and certainly worthy of this spot on our list here. So
I will tell you, if they showed up at our local casino, I'd be there. That's my new measuring stick.
But if they show up, I'll go.
Yeah.
So, and hopefully you'll call me.
Absolutely.
And I'll be
you're there. My guy.
I'll be there. And we'll have on our Blue Jean Committee t-shirts.
Captain's hats.
Yes. Ahoy. All right. That's Ambrosia. You're the biggest
penny
part
loafers
of me.
Or
penny loafers.
Dancing shoes.
Maybe
whatever.
Dockciders.
There you go.
Yeah, you'd have those with those tight white shorts maybe. And maybe a underneath our BJC t-shirts, maybe a popped-up collared polo shirt.
There you go.
Yeah,
I like
can do it. All right.
Number seven.
If you like piña coladas and getting caught in the rain, if you're not into yoga, if you have half a brain, if you like making love at midnight in the dunes on the Cape, then I'm the love that you've looked for. Write to me and escape.
Number seven on the list is the Pina Colada song, which most people know it as. Actually, that's the subtitle. It's Escape by Rupert Holmes. Handsome young gentleman.
With his nice, glasses that
take up most
that
of
are
his...
also sunglasses.
Yeah. You got to have the fades.
Yes, you do.
So, a lot of people, I think, would put this as number one as the song that they identify with yacht rock, right?
Yes.
It's got the vibe. You're talking about pina coladas.
Tells a story.
My wife hates this song.
How could she hate this
song?
You
know, I think there's just the sort of hint of infidelity or boredom, and you know, so it's just not a wholesome song in her.
Right.
But it's a great song. In the end, they find each other.
Yes.
Again. And I think it's definitely right in the middle of the genre. We did not put it near the top five.
We did not.
And we put it on.
Yeah.
Just because.
Largely because it's one of those expected.
Yeah.
Songs like you kind of have to include it. I mean, it's not that it's a bad song. Just like Sailing, not a bad song.
Not bad.
I think if we're being true to the genre, it belongs there. You know, I would put I'd put Key Largo here.
Yeah.
That would slot in just as easily right here.
Birdie
Higgins, the man. I know somebody that saw Birdie in concert, and they said that he put on a really good show. He does Key Largo, and he may have had one other hit that we forget about, but he's mostly doing cover tunes. So what are you going to do? You're Bertie Higgins.
Yeah.
You got that one hit. That's your show closer. He probably opened and closed with
you're playing at the Marriott in Key Largo.
Yeah. Why not? They're paying him.
It works.
All you can eat seafood buffet.
Yeah. So
probably he's probably opening for Rupert Holmes.
Yeah. And Rupert Holmes, for all intents and purposes, I think was a one-hit wonder. He had a very strange song, in my opinion. Yes.
Another cheating song. Well,
yeah, he was sort of fixated on that.
Escape wasn't about cheating, but it was about a guy that was going to cheat.
Yeah,
end up finding out that the person that he's contacting through the local one ads ends up being his old lady
right
already
there.
Had.
Yeah.
So in him.
Let that be a lesson to you.
Yeah, let it be a lesson. Don't go looking where that grass is always greener because it's probably already the grass you're already sitting on. Yeah.
So, I think Rupert Holmes went on to I think he did a lot of musicals.
He
wrote some musicals. I think he even won a Tony Award, if I'm not mistaken.
No kidding.
So, yeah, he was kind of a flash in the pan, but good song.
Good. So, there we go. Escape, the Pina Colada song.
Number six.
Number six, This Is It by Kenny Loggins. Now, honestly, this could have been Heart to Heart. This could have been Whenever I Call You Friend. One of the criteria we had when we set up this this playlist here, this top 10 chart we have, is we can't use the same artist twice. So there would have been a couple different Little River Band songs on here. There could have been... two or three different Boss Skaggs or Steely Dan songs on here, but we want to stick it with one just to kind of make it look a little more eclectic. But Kenny Loggins, you know him from, he did the soundtrack for Top Gun, Danger Zone, we all know that, I'm All Right, which was in Caddyshack,
Footloose
theme, I'm Free, which is also in Footloose. So Kenny Loggins has had a long career. But he got his start out in yacht rock. Way back when, he had a partner named Dave Messina. I think they were just musical partners. And they went on and had a few hits. But until he went solo, he really took off. And this is this song here just comes on. It's very yachty.
Very yachty. Yeah. And I don't think... when he was with Messina, I don't think anything of that era really fits. It wasn't until he...
No, not really.
Yeah.
Not really.
This is going to sound really intelligent. There's a Christmas song that they have, and I can't think of the name of it, but
He
and Messina, I believe.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, I know he did Celebrate Me Home, which is a good Christmas
song.
That's
a good one.
Which also sounds very yacht rockish.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of got that sound.
It does.
But, that's...
And it was great that they had in Blue Jean Committee... Kenny Loggins had that presence,
yes.
Like he knew them and worked with them back in the
day. Like they were collaborators.
Yeah, it's classic.
I know in the Yacht Rock series, they spent a lot of time with the Kenny Loggins character because they kind of refer him as like the godfather of Yacht Rock. Like, so he has had such a... Because like a lot of these guys ended up singing background or playing instruments on each other's music. So... like when we're going up to like JoJo by Boss Skaggs will be up here in a little bit. You might hear a little Michael McDonald in there. You might hear Kenny Loggins in the background. So a lot of these things.
They were traveling in the same circles, touring the same venues,
riding
the same boats.
It's what they do. It's what they do. So yeah, Kenny Loggins. What's that?
Great beard.
He had one of the most epic beards of the era. Like, Christopher Cross had kind of like the chin strap.
Yeah.
But Kenny Loggins had the full stash and beard. So he had the best of Christopher Cross and of John Oates.
Yeah. He wasn't messing around.
Handsome guy. Very handsome guy. Very handsome man. So, yes.
Almost in your category.
You know what?
Maybe.
I think he's past me. He might be closer to a Jim Lawler.
Maybe.
Like,
somewhere, a couple handsome guys.
There we go. We're studs. we also have this... self-admiration.
Yeah, self-inflated view of ourselves.
Mutual admiration society of self-inflation. So, yeah.
We're both legally blind, we'll point that out. But
yeah, but hey, don't hold that against us.
All right, so Kenny Loggins, this is it.
Number 5. They got it made for the winners in the world. I want a name when I lose. They call Alabama the Crimson Tide. Call me Deacon
Blues. Deacon Blues by Steely Dan. You know, I saw them in concert probably 3 or 4 years ago. It's probably shortly before Walter Becker's death. And they sounded awesome. Like, just the sound mix was just right, and it was just very smooth. And at this spot of our countdown, you could have put pretty much any Steely Dan song on here. Peg would have worked here.
Yeah.
FM, Black Cow, Babylon Sisters. And you could have even taken Donald Fagen's solo work like Nightfly or IGY.
Yeah,
you could have put any of those in here and they would fit. Definitely defined that yacht rock era. They're one of those bands, I think, that kind of transcend time and space. They sound as fresh now as they did back then. Like, there's nothing. Some of these songs and these artists are going to sound kind of dated when you listen to them. Steely Dan, not so much.
So I appreciate Steely Dan. I will tell you that I have to be in a specific mood. I don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Something about their sound that times I love it and times I may flip through it.
Right. Let's take a brief time out and we will be back and finish off our Mount Rushmore. Yes, our top 4 yacht rock songs on our countdown.
This is Yacht Rock, the album. 60 smooth rock classics from the 70s and 80s. Set sail with the smoothest grooves on the ocean waves. Yacht Rock. Album out now.
Welcome back, and now on with the conclusion of our episode of our favorite Yacht Rock songs.
Number 4. $50, you get you all you want.
JoJo by Boss Skaggs. He's another artist on this list that you could have just inserted any of his songs in here. Miss Sun, Breakdown Dead Ahead, Lowdown, Lido Shuffle. Boss Skaggs is an amazing musician, good songwriter. Love his voice. He could sing the telephone book and make it sound interesting. And, you know, you've heard that said about people, but he truly could. I don't think he has received the credit he deserves over the years. But as far as this Yacht Rock list here, he definitely deserving of the spot here. So what are your thoughts on Boss Skaggs, Jim?
Well, we're now in the section of Jim likes it okay, but doesn't know. You know, I think he's another one that I kind of put in the same vein as Steely Dan, that, you know, I kind of have to be in the mood.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you've heard it in how I've described my taste.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to lean more towards the America, Ambrosia, Gordon Lightfoot end of the, you know, Little River Band end of these things. But I think that it is a distinct sound. Lowdown, Lido Shuffle, all fantastic. JoJo's great. I think it represents sort of the diversity of sounds that fits into this genre.
Like you had mentioned, which makes a lot of sense to me, because you're talking about, you know, America and Gordon Lightfoot and some of these, and I'm leaning more towards the more jazzy sounds of Boss Skaggs, Steely Dan, that kind of thing. So, I mean, it is, the genre is not very broad, but there is sort of a, there is a difference. Like, not all this music sounds the same.
Right.
So, like, there's something for everybody. Well, not for everybody, obviously, but but for us, the fans, it's, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can listen to Yacht Rock and not feel like you're hearing the same song over and over. And not to knock heavy metal, but a lot of heavy metal songs basically follow the same formula, and they kind of tend to sound... See, that's a genre, even though I like some of the hair bands and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's something I got to be in the mood for. Like, I got to prepare myself if I want to sit down and listen to Motley Crue.
Yeah.
So, that's...
I think I tend, you know, the way you describe it, I lean more towards the light rock end of things.
Right.
So, if we were to... And we didn't even debate this artist, but... Dan Fogelberg.
Oh, yeah. Know? I like Dan Fogelberg.
You know, I like that sort of light rock sound. Dan Fogelberg was amazing.
Yes,
now, I'm not
was.
Sure that he fits in this genre.
No.
Some may argue that he does, you know, but I don't think that he does.
I don't put him there.
Yeah.
He's a good singer-songwriter. One of my all-time favorite Christmas songs is Same Old Anxiety.
Mm.
Like, I probably listened to that thing 20 times during the Christmas season because it's one that I don't get tired of.
Yeah.
Like, oh, because you just paint this visual. There's a video on YouTube, like a fan-made video. It kind of tells the story. Like, that song would make a great movie. Or
since we go further down this hole,
mm-hmm.
John Denver, Christmas for Cowboys.
I've never heard that.
Oh, it's fantastic. No. Jars of Clay redid it.
Really? I heard Jars of Clay do Little Drummer Boy, but I never heard that one.
Christmas for Cowboys is fantastic.
Is it really?
Take a listen.
I will.
Everyone.
I will take a
Maybe
listen.
Maybe in December, but, you know, remember that. Put that on a playlist. Stow it away.
Christmas for Cowboys by John Denver.
Yeah. You'll want to ride a horse.
I want to ride one right now. But I'd name it something, unlike America. Sorry. Jeez. All right, so yeah, that was our number four song, JoJo by Boss Skaggs.
Number three.
Takes a ladder, steals the stars from the sky, puts on Sinatra and starts to cry. On and on, he just keeps on trying, and he smiles when he feels like crying.
We're up to the heavy hitters now. This is the best of the best. The top three yacht songs, yacht rock songs, according to Rob and Jim. This is On and On by Stephen Bishop. Great love story. Love this song. I've always loved this song.
Yeah.
Even when it wasn't considered cool, I loved it.
It is a great tune. I probably did not pay attention to who sang it for decades. And so he's got a couple. And a little bit of a interesting history, right?
Yes. So not only did he... I mean, he had some other hits, too. Save It for a Rainy Day. You may not have heard it. It was a hit, believe it or not. And It Might Be You, that was in the movie Tootsie. But interesting fact. Do you remember the scene in Animal House where the dude is playing the folk song on the stairway and John Belushi takes his guitar and smashes it? That is Stephen Bishop.
I gave my love a cherry that had no stone. I gave my love a chicken that had no bones. I gave my love a story that had no end. I give...
Nice.
Yes.
I think he was actually, you know, when we were kind of looking at these artists, I think he was also in the Blues Brothers.
What?
Played like a mall cop or something like that, but just a brief cameo.
Nice.
Interesting tidbit, and I'm only saying this because I want to say her name. Chaka Khan.
Chaka Khan?
Chaka Khan was on, helped out on his first album, along with Eric Clapton. So, you know, he had some... pretty powerful people.
He's very connected.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I just know him as like this mellow singer, but I've always known he was that part in Animal House. I think one time, probably 10 years ago or something, I may have looked that up just because I thought that part was so funny. I'm like, well, who's that guy singing?
I guess if you're in Southern California, you just, you know, automatically have some of these connections.
Yeah, you just show up and you're in a movie.
With Chaka Khan?
Chaka
Khan. She wasn't in the movie.
She should have been.
Chaka Khan.
Chaka Khan. Is there anybody that can say Chaka Khan without automatically going to that song?
It has to have that inflection.
One of the best songs of the 80s. But not Yacht Rock.
No.
It's not. So,
it is not.
Yes, number three, awesome song, On and On by Stephen Bishop.
Number two.
Hurry, don't be late. I can hardly wait. I said to myself, when we'll
go dancing in the dark, walking through the park and reminiscing.
Number two. This could be any song by Little River Band, but we've chosen Reminiscing because it most kind of has that yacht rock feel. So, as Jim mentioned, he is a tremendous fan of the LRB, maybe more so than Will Ferrell is. So, if you guys haven't seen The Other Guys, there's one part with him and Mark Wahlberg where they're in the car and Mark Wahlberg throws in this headbanger music, and then Will Ferrell turns it off and puts a Little River Band on, and it's hilarious. But Jim, tell us about the LRB.
You know, Little River Band, I think it was probably 1982 when their greatest hits, I could be wrong, maybe 84 when the greatest hits album came out. I would put that in my top 10 albums. I don't know if it's fair to use a greatest hits album as a top 10
for our purposes. Sure,
yeah, I think in the vein of Yacht Rock, Reminiscing, Cool Change, we talked about that a little bit. Mm-hmm. How we debated on that one.
Night Owls,
Lonesome Loser, you know, kind of lean towards kind of a country vibe a little bit.
Yeah.
Take It Easy on Me. Yep. I think I disclosed to Rob that that was actually one of my favorites. I had some sort of, 13-year-old fling. And
it was a heartbreak.
Had my heart broken somehow, some way. And, so I was probably singing that through tears in my...
Did you, like, look in your mirror and wonder, what did I do wrong? Like, what's wrong with
exactly,
me?
Exactly, yeah. And there were a lot of things wrong with me. But, but that has, they've always been a favorite. Rob was kind enough to put this up on the list. I think you agree, though, right?
Well, yeah, I absolutely agree. This could have easily been number one. When you're talking about Yacht Rock, as we have spoken of throughout this entire show, this is one of those bands that definitely define the genre, you know, like it or not. Before Yacht Rock was a thing, I think, like, was because of bands and songs like this. So that greatest hits album, I looked it up, was 1982. So you got it right the first
time.
Thank
you, yeah.
So they, great job.
And their most active years were right in the middle of that sort of period from like 78 to 82. They were pretty fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Now, they were all over the charts at that point.
And, you know, they've had a lot of changes in the group members over the years. I think we already touched on the fact that, you know, I don't think there are any original members, but and they were from Australia, which until I kind of dug around a little bit, I did not know that. Of course, Rob and his infinite wisdom did know that, but
Jim went to school and became a doctor. I stayed home and learned about pop music. So
Those were all my classes were about music, you know.
Well,
so
you have a PhD in music.
Right.
Nothing wrong with that. Great band. Join us next year when they come to town.
Hollywood Casino.
We're gonna do it. So yeah, Little River Band is number two. You know what that means? There's just one left.
Number one.
Rises to her apology. Anybody else would surely know.
Number one, What a Fool Believes by the Doobie Brothers. Again, any of these songs could be interchanged, just about. But yeah, we chose this one just because the Michael McDonald era Doobie Brothers probably did the best job at really spending probably hours and hours and months in the recording studio perfecting their craft, having that jazzy feel. You have the Doobie Brothers, you've got like the old Blackwater Doobie Brothers, listen to the music, Long Train Running. And then when Michael came along and started, you know, taking over the lead vocals, they, you know, they went with the talent they had, which he's got this great jazz voice. And Michael McDonald is probably the king of yacht rock. If there is one, it is Michael McDonald, because almost any song that he has ever done could be on this list. He super talented guy, and I saw an interview just the other day, just kind of prepping for the show, and it was Michael McDonald was talking about the resurgence of yacht rock and why people are listening to it, and he's kind of in on it. You know, he's like, hey, you know, it's allowing me and my contemporaries, you know, we're getting gigs. You know, people want to hear us. And he's like, I kind of get the joke behind it a little bit. You know, I'm in on it. And he's like, and I am flattered that they think of me in such a light. And he was actually referring to that yacht rock
episode
series.
Yeah.
And he said he cracked up, and he was talking to Kenny Loggins about it, and they thought it was the funniest thing ever. Let's be honest, wouldn't any of you find it kind of funny if they did a web series based on you and just really went over the top with your character? So that'd be a ton
it's
of
good
fun.
Time, yeah.
So tell us about the Doobie Brothers, Jim. Tell us what you think. How do you feel about this being number one?
Great song. Again, one that I've come to appreciate probably in the last decade. Michael McDonald, even in his solo career, he sang some other song I keep forgetting.
That's great.
So Michael McDonald, you know, even with his solo career, still had that sound. I don't even know after about 1985 what he may have gotten into. But
he didn't do too much after that.
His made soundtracks, right?
Yeah, he did a lot of soundtracks. I remember him doing the song for Running Scared with Billy Crystal and Gregory Hines. He did that. And I know probably in the early 2000s, he did an album of Motown tunes, which is really good. So if you guys get a chance, check that out. You know, he hits all the Motown standards and does a very good job.
That is a good album.
Job at it.
Yeah,
so it's really good.
And the Doobie Brothers, I think that was one of those influences in the 70s that actually I got into with, everybody may have this sort of person. I had a cousin who was well into his teen years when I was kind of in the tween years. So, you know, I'd follow him around and listen to whatever he listened to, and the Doobie Brothers were always part of his repertoire. And so it was obviously pre-Michael McDonald years, but, you know, I've always appreciated their music. And I think this is a great number one. I think this really typifies, at least to you and I.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to make the list, so that's all that matters.
You guys make your own list.
But I think it typifies the sound, and this is something you can listen to over and over. I don't get tired of it.
No, I don't either. Most of these songs on here, I don't really get tired of. These are part of what I listen to. Just normal, everyday, throwing the yacht rock playlist. But I'm also seasonal. It's funny. I will, different seasons of my life or of the year, like this is the time of year, like the spring and summer, I'm cranking up the yacht rock. In the early part of the spring, I listen to some classic country a lot.
So, nice, yeah.
And then, you know, during like into the deeper into the summer, I'm listening to like some hair band music, and into the fall, I'm like listening to more like new wave type stuff. I'm just weird. I'm so weird.
Glad you said that. Yeah.
Thanks. Like, you know, I do have an eclectic taste in music, and this is, you know, this yacht rock thing is one of the areas that I just absolutely love to listen to, and I could listen to it, you know, for hours. And I honestly, for the last week preparing for the show, listened to it quite a bit. Not that I don't anyway, But this week, it's just about all I've listened to is this type of stuff.
Yeah. You know, the genre, we talked about this with the Blue Jean Committee. This genre needs a full-length movie.
It does. Whether it's
the Blue Jean Committee or whether it's an Adam Sandler movie, you know, harkening back to the late 70s, and then it's just loaded with a soundtrack of these songs. I mean, it needs that sort of attention. It deserves it.
Well, I think the Blue Jean Committee should make a movie, you know. And I do think if they called on some of the SNL alum to join them, Adam Sandler would be great. Kristen Wiig, we talked about this before. She'd be great as like a cocaine sniffing background singer or something.
They could have some of these other people be you know, bands that are around that scene around Southern California.
Oh yeah,
it would be hilarious.
So. Well, if you think sort of like Anchorman, remember where they had the street fight with all of the anchors? What if, like, Will Ferrell was, like, in a rival band, and they were, like, him and Bill Hader were fighting.
Yeah.
And Bill Hader whips out, like, a big Chicago Polska kielbasa and punches him in the face with it. That'd be awesome.
That's what we need.
It's what we need. There's not enough of that.
There's not.
So, if anybody happens to be listening to this and they have connections, we want a Yacht Rock movie. Make it happen. All right. Well, I think we've exhausted Yacht Rock.
I think we've done it.
Possibly can.
We've conquered it.
I think we've said the words Yacht Rock together about 312 times this episode.
We snuck in some Chaka Khan.
We've mentioned Van Halen, Blue Murder, and we're just now going to mention Conway Twitty just because we had to round out the obscurity there. So.
There you go.
Guys, thank you for hanging with us and listening this whole time. Jim, thank you so much. You're a good friend, a longtime friend, and it has been great hanging out with you, talking about this stuff, and looking forward to just dancing in the dark, walking through the park, and reminiscing. So you, I would love to have you back sometime, and we'll do this over some other topic. Yeah. None can be as exhilarating as Yacht Rock.
Thanks, man. It's been fun.
All right, thanks. So, guys, we'll see you next time. Next week, John McNeil will be joining me, and we'll be talking about summertime songs of the 80s. You don't want to miss it. Thanks, guys. Have a good one. Gentle and soft. Smooth and easy.
Why don't you drop by the Yacht Club?
Thank you, sir.
All right. Horse songs always get a little strange. Yeah.